This morning when Pastor mentioned the pie in front of him, I was like, boy, this is just a coincidence, because this morning's message titled The Piece of the Pie. Sounds like he's been looking at my notes. So, I got a hand up. We'll get ahead of myself, but I love preaching on John 21. I had another message I had completely planned out, ready to go. I've preached it numerous times. I just am fed so much out of John 21. I believe it's an instruction in so many areas of our lives. But on Friday night, the Lord just took a whole different direction. He kept me in John 21, but just a whole different approach to it that I believe applies directly to what we're here for. So we'll go from there. The ushers will pass that out later on, not right away, because I don't want to cause a distraction. But it'll be about two-thirds through the message. That'll be about an hour and a half from now. Okay. Okay. Let me ask you a question. If someone gave you a piece of a pie, or should say a pie, and took out one slice out of your pie, would you be more concerned about the 7/8 of the pie that you had left, or the 1/8 that someone took out? You know, a lot of times in life we're like that, and that's what we're going to focus on really towards the end of the message. In our lives, in the ministry, in just your daily walk, and I say the ministry, I'm speaking to everyone in the room. In your ministry, so far, so often, we tend to focus on what we can't do instead of what we can do. You know, maybe you've heard that there's something in the ministry you can't do, and that's your whole focus. That's your roadblock for your walk for the Lord. Far too often we focus on the can't, and we don't do the can. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would please, God, please don't let me get in your way this morning. I pray that you do what only you can do, Lord, and that speak to the hearts of everyone here in a different way. Lord, we may read one passage, we may preach one passage of Scripture, Lord, but the Holy Spirit can speak to us in so many ways. I pray that you would be the preacher this morning, not me, Lord God. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Three simple things I want to look at. Go to John chapter 21. If you're not there already, John chapter 21. Like I said, to me, it's a beautiful part of Scripture. So it's extremely instructive, but it's also extremely misunderstood. I've heard many different things preached. Sadly, a lot of times in life, we use the Scriptures as an excuse to communicate what we want to communicate rather than what God wants communicated. And I hope I'm not guilty of that this morning. I hope that we stay true to the Word here. First thing I want to look at is, well, actually, there's three things. The evaluation of the pie, the way the pie is used, and a comparison of the pieces of the pie. First thing is that an evaluation of the pieces of the pie that you do have. We're going to start off in verse 15, and I'll read it through you once, and then we're going to kind of take it apart. Verse 15 says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. First thing I want to look at is, if you love God, you will allow yourself to be used of God. Before you can do anything, you need to know if you're willing. Talk is cheap. You know, I've said it before. I've said it who knows how many times. I've gone into churches and I've preached and I said, Christians do not tell lies. They go to church and they sing them. I mean, think about what we sing during missions conference. I go where you want me to go. You know, I surrender all. Do we really mean what we say? And what I want to look at is through these verses, if you look at verse 15, 16, and 17, each time the Lord asks Peter a question, the answer is not good enough to be, well, yes, you know I love you. The answer each time is a requirement of service. And that requirement of service is a matter of doing what we're doing right now in this missions conference. It's a matter of reaching out to people with Christ. Now, if you look at these verses, to me, they've been misunderstood because people will say, well, this was an answer to Peter denying the Lord three times. Well, first of all, we don't know that. Okay, it may sound good, it may make a good message, but God never said that. All right, so we can look at things, we can consider things, but be careful that we don't read things into it. All right, but one thing that jumps out at me in verse 15, and if you would go back, we're not going to do it for the sake of time, verses 1 through 14, we're looking at Peter went back to his old life. Okay, and people say, well, how do you know that? Well, because the Lord had told him one time, you will no longer be a fisherman, but you'll be what? Fishers of men. All right, Peter went back, and as we all do as Christians, whenever we backslide, whenever we sin, whenever we get disappointed, frustrated, we go back to our old ways. Peter went back to his old life. Now, what makes me think that? Look at verse 15. When they had died, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon Peter? No, he didn't. He called him by his old name. Is it possible we're dealing with the old Peter? I'm not sure. That's just something to chew on. But he says, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. The problem of verse 15, 16, and 17 is so often we think, well, see, the Lord asked Peter three times if he loved him. He did not ask him three times if he loved him. What he asked him, if you look exactly at the words that are being used, is what kind of love he has for him. Because if I would take verse 15, 16, and 17 and not restrict us to the English language, keep in mind now, the English language of all languages truly makes less sense, okay? Because you could read a book, R-E-A-D. It could be a reed blowing in the wind, R-E-E-D. Or you could have read the book, R-E-A-D. There's so many confusing things, but as far as words, there's a limitation. In English, if you could love somebody, for this sake, in the Greek, we only look at three different versions, okay? We know there's eros, we know there's phileo, and we know there's agapeo. If I was to remove the English words and replace them, we're going to see that it's agapeo and phileo. Phileo being a brotherly love, a more of a conditional love. Agapeo being a godly, unconditional love. So if you look at the actual words used in 15, 16, and 17, it would read like this. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, agapeo thou me more than these? He saith to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo thee. He saith to him, feed my lambs. Now, the first thing we got to look at is God says, Peter, do you love me unconditionally? Peter is at least honest enough to say, Lord, you know, if I would change it to today's language, do you love me? Lord, you know I like you. And the answer is, okay, based on you saying you love me, then feed my lambs. Now, we're also going to see that there's not only different kinds of love, there's different kind of sheep, and there's different kind of feedings in these verses. Because in verse 15 it says, feed my lambs. He's talking about nourishing the baby sheep. Maybe it's a new believer. Maybe it's a lost person and you're sharing the word with them. But he says, if you love me, the first thing you're going to do is what? You're going to reach somebody else. See, it wasn't good enough to say, Lord, I love you. It wasn't good enough to sing it. It wasn't good enough to dress it. It was about living it. So the first one he says, yes, Lord, you know I like you. Now look at the wording in verse 16. He saith to him again. Well, wait a minute. Keep in mind the word again, because the word again appears the second time, but it doesn't appear the third time. So the second time in verse 16, he says, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, agapeo thou me? He saith to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now the second time, he's not talking about nourishing, and he's not talking about lambs. Because that word feeding has more to do with governing. And now we're talking about the older lambs. So maybe this is a pastoral message. Maybe this is an appeal to leadership. Because he's saying, if you really love me, you'll govern my lambs. You'll govern my sheep, if you really love me. But notice both times, he did not want only a verbal answer. He wanted a physical answer. He wanted a manifestation of what came out in the words. So if you love God, you will allow yourself to be used of God. But also, we're going to see in verse 17, you've got to know if you even like God. Before you're used of God, you need to know what you really believe. What was the heartbreaker for Peter in that last verse? It wasn't that the Lord asked him a question three times. It was what he asked him. Remember now, the first time, Peter, do you agapeo me? Lord, you know I phileo you. Second time, Peter, do you agapeo me? Lord, you know I phileo thee. Now look at the last verse here, verse 17. He saith unto him the third time. He didn't say he saith unto him again the third time because he's saying something totally different. Simon, son of Jonah, phileo thou me? Man, it's a heartbreaker. He just got, I mean, being honest as he can be with the Lord, Lord, you know I like you. It's almost you could translate it to, do you even like me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, phileo thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Went back to the other word, nourish. Now we're talking about spiritually nourishing the older sheep again. So the first thing we see is, and we were talking about the pie earlier today, that we each have a pie in our lives. Our life is a pie. The first thing we got to find out is, what kind of pie are you? What do you have? What are you made of? What is your relationship with the Lord? What kind of pie are you? The second thing I want to look at is, the way your piece of the pie is going to be used. You know, the first thing you got to do as far as a Christian in your life and your ministry, forget your plans. Just throw them out the window. Because your plans were usually made up by you. Look at first half of verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast, thou girdest thyself, walkest whether thou wouldst. Whoop, hold it. Wait a minute here. This is the way you used to do it. When you were young, you did it your way. You planned out your own life. You made out you charted your own course. There is going to be a contrast. First thing, Peter, we've got to make a change here. Forget the way you did things. You know, this morning I was talking to Brother Sheets in the hotel lobby just before they kicked him out. And we were just talking about this, and I told him, I said, you know, so often I remember talking to young guys and going into the ministry, and I'd ask them, what are you doing when you get out of the ministry? And one guy may say, well, I'm a pastor, I'm a missionary, I'm an evangelist. And I said, what are you going to do? Okay, you're going to your first church. What are you going to do? Boy, and he'd sit there, and he'd write off, okay, Sunday school, Sunday morning, three songs. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I asked him, I'll say, where'd you come up with that idea? Well, this is the way I've always done it. Well, what did God tell you? Have we become such creatures of habit that we're not seeking God's direction? And I'm not saying that something's wrong or right to do. But I'm saying no matter what you do, if God is not directing it, you should not be doing it. And if he is directing it, do it all the more. So the first thing you got to do is forget your plans. Run your life as though you were the Etch-a-Sketch, you know? Just scratch it all out. Say, okay, God, now I'm going to give it to you. Now you do something with it. It's okay, I'll do this. Now when God makes your plans, realize something else. It may not be as glamorous or what you had planned, but it is God's perfect plan for you. Look at verse 18 again, the second half. He says, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, walkest whether thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. He said, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. He didn't say by what big a church you're going to glorify God with. He didn't say by how many people you're going to convert in the mission field. He said by what death you will glorify God. You know, far too often in our plans, we see the pictures, and I told people, I said, you know, it's not the case here. Praise the Lord, it's not the case here. But many times, missions conferences have been reduced to shrunken heads and swollen bellies. They make great pictures. They make great videos. Look at the hungry little kid with the swollen belly sitting in the corner. We're going to reach him. The issue should be is, what has God told that person to do? And do that work. So forget your plans. God's plan for you may not seem as glorious as what you had planned. The key is to follow Christ, doing the best with what he gave us to work with. Now, I want to need a volunteer who, someone I don't know, because I might have used this example last time I was here. And thank you, brother, for volunteering. You just didn't know it. All right, come on up. All right, look at verse 19. He said, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. All right, follow me. This way. Follow me. Wow. Follow me. Okay, I need a church vote. Did he follow me? You are all absolutely wrong. Go on, sit on down. Thank you for trying. At the point I said, follow me, did I do like this? Yeah. Did he do that? From the point I told him to follow me, I repeatedly said, follow me. Did he say, follow me? No. Did he take the same exact steps that I took? No. This is probably the biggest confusion in Christianity today. He did not follow me. I meant to trick him. No hard feelings. But what he did was walk in my general direction. That's what we do in Christianity today. Jesus Christ said, follow me. Follow me means when I take a step, you take a step, and the same place I stepped. When I say this, guess what I want you to say? This. But we are guilty of wanting to walk in his general direction and say, what's the big deal? The big deal is simple. If I sit here and make two dots on that corner of the wall, start at mid-wall, and I deviate just one degree, and I make a line and I say, I'm going to go around the building, I'm going to come back. You know what? You start off that far apart. You finish up where the second dot can't be seen. Why? Because you're just drifting a little bit. We can't afford to drift, not even a little bit. Do me a favor, if you've got the flyers, let's go ahead and pass out those flyers real quick. So we saw the evaluation of the pieces of the pie. The way the piece of the pie will be used. Now I want to make a comparison of the pieces of the pie you do have versus the one that you don't have. Now, if you look at the pie the way it's drawn out, it's just a typical pie. I couldn't really make it any smaller, the piece that you don't have, just because it wouldn't have shown up on the printer. Okay? But in all reality, if you were to look at your life as a pie, and for whatever reason you can't do what you think you can't do, or maybe you shouldn't do, whether it's gender, whether it's the way God wired you, whether whatever reason it is, whatever you can't do for the Lord is that little bitty piece of the pie. Guess which piece of the pie we focus on? The little bitty piece. Why? I can't do this. I can't do that. Let's look at an example in the scripture, verse 20 now. Verse 20. And hold on to that pie. We're going to talk about it in a second. First off, your eye is on the wrong piece. Look at verse 20. Then Peter, being a good Baptist that he is, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? What about his pie? mean, you just finished telling me that you asked me if I love you. We got the whole area straightened out. I said yes. And you said, I get to die for you. What does he get to do? How come his ministry is so much easier? Easier in your eyes. Because you don't know what he's going through. You don't know what he's gone through. You don't know what he's going to go through. So we're like, this isn't fair. This isn't right. What about him? Verse 22, God basically tells them, keep your eye on your own pie. Jesus saith unto him, if you will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? What is that to thee? What is that to thee in the Greek is, it's none of your business. Okay? I'll translate them for you all day long. All right? None of your business. What does he give? You know what's funny is people are usually not jealous of someone else when they're doing something they don't want to do. They're not jealous of someone else when they're sicker than them, but they're jealous when they're healthier than them. They're not jealous when they're out of work and you got a job. But you're jealous when they got a better job than you do. Why? Because you're looking at somebody else's pie. And there's nothing you can do about somebody else's pie. Keep your eye on your own pie. Last thing is, you're accountable for your own peace and no other. Last half of verse 22. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Now, you could read those last three words in the wrong way. Follow thou me. No. Follow thou me. He just finished telling Peter, a few verses back, let's go back to it here. Verse 19, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God, and when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Now, if you look at follow me, it's pretty easy whether language you speak in, Spanish, English, whatever. But if you look at it in verse 22, it's almost redundant. If I'm in a room by myself, and someone walks in, and I tell a person, bring me a glass of water. I shouldn't have to say, you bring me a glass of water. Because when I said that, it already communicated you. Who else am I talking to? Jesus had told Peter, follow me. But now he's telling him a combination of things. Because he says, you, follow thou me. Don't follow John. I can't follow another missionary the way they do things, and nor should I. You can't follow someone else in your ministry, nor should you. Why? Because God wired you in a very special way where you can do things that other people can't. You may be sitting back saying, well, I can't do this. You know, the other night, my wife met a young lady. I'm not sure how young she was. And she was sharing something with my wife about her life and this and that and just certain things. And it was the identical same story. Their backgrounds were the same. You know, in some cases, you may come from the same background, but God may use you in a different way. You may think you have all these wonderful talents, but God doesn't need that talent. God needs something else out of your life. The questions I got to ask you this morning really is, who are you following? Go back to your piece of the pie. If you could do nothing else for today is take your pie, put it on your refrigerator, anything, any place that you're going to look at it again. And if nothing else today, focus on what your piece of the pie is. Realize that there's this one little piece of the pie for whatever reason in your life doesn't belong to you. But the rest of the pie does. Look at the difference in proportion what you can do to versus what you can't do. I know a man that was once very upset that he was disqualified to be a deacon. This is a guy in Kansas City. Only because he focused, he was divorced and remarried. Only because he was focused on what he couldn't do. We had a real long talk. And matter of fact, last Sunday he ended up giving it as a testimony. And afterwards we're having a meal and we're talking about it. And it turned out that he was doing much more than any deacon I ever knew. I mean, he was doing unbelievable what he was doing. He didn't have the title. He didn't have the office. But he was being used of God in mighty ways. He now has peace about what he can and what he cannot do. We often spend far too much time dwelling on what we can't do and worrying about what the other guy gets to do. God has something special for you to do that he has assigned you to do and no one else. Stop looking at what others do and who others are. That doesn't matter in your obedience. Like I said last night, obedience is a result. We can get far too preoccupied in results, and quite often, many results only serve to impress people rather than God. Think about it. Scoreboards, scorecards. I mean, I've got one pastor I work with in Cuba, and he's constantly telling me how many people came, how many people got saved, how many people he visited, this and that, almost as though he's got a report to me. I'm like, look, are you doing what God told you to do today? Yep, good job. You're a success. What God wants is obedience. The true results belong to God. You know, and this is just a little rabbit trail here. I was thinking, and Pastor was mentioning the faith promise last night and missions, and I just felt led just to share this. Go to 2 Samuel 24. And this kind of ties in with your piece of the pie. 2 Samuel 24. You know the background of the story of the plague, and David's told to set up an altar and make a sacrifice to God. And I want something that I don't want this to get lost during the missions conference. And I'm not pronouncing the guy's name right, and that's fine. But look at verse. No, we'll start 21. 2 Samuel 24, verse 21. And Araunah said, "Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant?" And David said, "To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from my people." And Araunah said unto David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood." All these things did Araunah as the king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, "The Lord thy God accept thee." And here's the key for missions right here. And the king said to Araunah, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord, my God, of that which doth cost me nothing." What's it costing you today? What is it costing you? And I think of the very guy I spoke of a second ago who couldn't be a deacon, and he's serving like crazy. He's just a wonderful guy. He went to Cuba with me. He was one of my mules. Tremendous friend of mine. We had a great trip. He wanted to support missions. And he prayed about what to give. And he didn't pray about God sending something to fall on his lap, some extra money. You know what he did? He canceled his cable. It cost him something. You know, we over the years, we've seen people say, "You know what? I'm changing this. I'm changing that." In missions and faith promise, you got to realize something. Your commitment doesn't stop at the end of the year. It also doesn't stop when you leave the church. God forbid you do, for the wrong reasons. I remember when we went to Mexico, and we were moving there, and probably 2 weeks before we left for Mexico, our biggest supporting church was 20% of our support, had a church split. The folks who split said, "See you later." So did their support. Walk into the mission field with $500 to $1,000 less and you're not allowed to work. Guys, we're doing tent making now too, okay? But what I'm trying to communicate is not for us. It's a communication of realizing when people are out there, what John Spites is going to go through. What's going to happen out there? He's going to get out there, and guess what? If you don't meet your support, your commitment, oh, God will take care of him. Don't worry about that. You'll lose the blessing, but God will take care of him. It goes back to the piece of the pie. God has given you a piece of the pie. What are you doing with it? How about just for the next 24 hours, forget about that one little piece you can't do. Focus on the piece you can, and think about the fact that you don't need to follow the guy next to you. Doesn't matter what he gives or what he doesn't give. Doesn't matter how he serves or how he doesn't serve. Because Jesus Christ told each individual in here, follow thou me. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just thank you. I thank you for your precious word. I thank you for just your mercy, your endless mercy, Lord, your endless patience, your endless love. Lord, I'm not here to teach anybody anything, Lord God. I just pray that your word will go in and, Lord, will do the work that it is intended to do. I thank you for this very faithful church who has always, always been faithful to us. That issue has never been an issue with us here. But, Lord, I know these missionaries, and Lord, there's so many different churches with so many different issues. Lord, each individual here, God, has a ministry. Some things we can do, some things we can't. But the can't, Lord, just doesn't even compare to the can. Help us, Lord, kick off this following week as we go back to work, as we go back to school. Lord, taking advantage of every little piece of the pie that we have left. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.